word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength. And I pray you please, Lord, that you be one of our number, that you would watch over us and keep us, that you would minister to us, Lord, that you would deliver to us, I pray you this morning, our spiritual daily bread. And I pray you too, Lord, for Pat and Steve, that you just look after them, and Esther too, and for Elaine and Hilary, for Leonard, for Frank, Lord, look after him, for Will's mum and his granny, for the McMahons, Lord, for the many souls that have slipped and slid. And but I pray you too, especially this morning, Lord, for Stan and Karen and Mark, and whatever it is that ails them that's going round the house, I pray you please that you would just touch their bodies and heal them, just help them turn the corner for whatever it is they're going through. For the many brothers and sisters, Lord, that are out there, I know, Lord, that you can tend to each and every one of us at the one time, and I pray that you would. Please inspire those that are setting out to preach and teach. And Lord, I pray the praises and the prayers and the fellowship and the teaching and preaching of your word would be acceptable in your sight. And I pray you, Father, please, a blessing upon us all. Please help us and strengthen us, Lord. I pray you for more boldness and courage as the days go by. And Father, that lost souls would have their eyes opened, that you would greatly convict them, not just Joe Public, Lord, but those that walk the corridors of power across the world. Lord, give them no peace until they do the right thing. We love you and praise you. Ask that you would be one of our number. And Lord, we ask all these things as well as private prayer requests and petitions in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin with the wee black book, but you might have noticed it's put on a bit of weight over the weekend. It's the medium-sized black book now, to number one, and we'll remain seated as we sing How Great Thou Art, hymn number one.
That God is Son, God's sparing. Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Don't put those wee books away, but if you would scoot on another 28 songs to number 29, we'll stand if you're able when we sing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. A song that needed a fourth verse, I think that's that. Amen. Norman, are you good to read for us this morning? Will you come on ahead then, brother, if you would.
Morning's reading this from the book of James, James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, a godly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourself, or become judges of evil thoughts. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if you commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, through a man, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If our brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me the faith without the works, and I will show ye my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed in him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen.
Amen. Some excellent verses there. The ones that jumped out at me this morning maybe bear a more, the Bible does link in, if you like, to the word in verse 6. You've despised the poor. Is it do not rich men oppress you and judge you and draw you before the judgment seats? And that seems to be an ongoing theme at the moment with the way our countries are running. Anyway, that's just on my mind there. Thought I would share that once for free. Just want to remind you too about, that's not the right prayer list, is it? July the 11th, the 18th, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the orange prayer list. Please make sure and that you're praying for the folks that are on it. Don't forget to pray for Taylor. I've written that down there. My sight is so bad that I can't actually see. Is it the 20-somethingth of August? There you go, 25th of August. I think I'll keep those on. I can see what I'm reading. The 25th of August, Taylor is travelling for her visa. So please do pray for that. Do continue to pray for Esther as well. She hasn't mentioned anything to doctors or anything about, I know she's having an appointment, but please do pray for Esther for that lump that she has in her tummy. We're still glad that Lynn got her pension sorted out without a very expensive and inconvenient trip to China. It still amuses me to think of Lynn as a pensioner. But there you go. Don't forget Dorothy Hamilton. These are not on your prayer list. I've written them down. Did she get her results?
Spoke to her Friday morning. Her appointment was cancelled because of COVID.
Why did she have COVID, or did the doctor have COVID? So we're still praying for that. But she was just getting results on Friday.
For
tests.
Yes.
All right. Did they give her another date?
Never asked her. I'll give her a ring next week and see her.
So do pray for Dorothy Hamilton. Also, although I wouldn't have agreed with him with all of his stands and some of his shenanigans over the years, Pastor McConnell from the Metropolitan Tabernacle is not doing very well by all accounts. He's in palliative care. Oh, did I? Well, there you go. Pray for the McConnell family, if you would, at this time. So he'll be buried on yesterday, Monday then. Thanks for that, Christy. Do also continue to pray for, well, Stan's still not well. He informed me that Karen had whatever he had and Mark had a taste of whatever he had as well. So please do pray for them. Do also pray for Alan Leslie. That's Billy's old friend. He's still in hospital. I think he was getting tests for his heart. And he's going to be in until Monday at the very, very least. So we'd appreciate your prayers for him. Everything else is going on ahead. Unfortunately, we didn't get out tracking yesterday. I just wasn't feeling the best. But I'm hoping to be well enough recovered to be out and about, pounding the pavement and putting leaflets in through doors next week. So I'd appreciate your prayers for that. I'm still here, mind you. So that's always good. Do continue to pray for the countries around and about us and the leaders of them. They very much do need great, great conviction and salvation. I could guarantee you that would make a great, there would be great directional changes if our leaders were saved men and saved women. So please do pray about that. We appreciate your prayers for Monica's mom. She is improving after the ablation surgery in her heart, but she's still a ways to go yet. But as she said yesterday, not doing bad for a lady coming up to 80. So I would appreciate your prayers there. And Will, do you have any private? Do you want us to put you down for private prayer requests? Okay. I had a circle round your name and now I have a line under it. That's grand. All right. If there's anything else that we need to be made aware of, yes?
Wolf Granny has a kidney infection and has to clear before she gets.
Do pray for Will's granny and her kidney infection. Well, don't pray against the kidney infection. They'll not entertain her until that's sorted, so please do remember that. Do continue to pray for the sale of the church and the work in the church. I'm going to have to get in touch with them and just push them along, because that's a solid month they've been dragging their heels, or whatever it is they do whenever they're on COVID duties. And sometimes I'm a bit cynical, as you might have guessed, but whenever a hospital says that due to COVID, maybe there's been more cases or a number has been put there that they refuse to entertain people, but when a bank says that because of COVID they are unable to process paperwork, I am thinking on how many people are working at home and there's not a leaf of paper to be found anywhere because it's all on computer. But please do pray for the Ulster Bank and for Ebrington Presbyterian Church and the processing of all of this stuff, which could have been done 2 years ago if they hadn't insisted on us becoming a registered charity. So anyway, please do remember that. There's a lot of stuff there, and I'm going to ask Will, if you would, don't have to pray for it all, Will, but if you would lead us in a wee word of prayer, would you? Bronker.
Heavenly Father, thank you this day, Lord, and thank you for praying safely, securely, and thank you for this day. You want to number, Lord, and help us to learn more about thee, Lord, and to direct us more into thy past and more into thy will, Lord. With those people, Lord, keep my care to thee, Lord, with thy Lord, right from and keep, Lord, to especially guide us, Lord, drawn close to thee, love him and bless him, Lord, as well, Lord. Go to Frank as well, Lord, his own and loving, Lord, provide for him as his own replacement, wherever he is, deliver him from trouble, Lord, and get him and keep him safe and well, and draw him close to thee. With Stephen Collins and John, Lord, save him, Lord, and bring him out and do present next to the time, Lord, and save their souls, Lord, for my honor, for our glory. With Esther, Lord, with her son, Lord, with her path, with her mother, Lord, that you may not bring her back, Lord, heal her, Lord, and bring her safely, and whenever she's well enough, Lord, bring her safely back to church, Lord, as well, Lord. With Stephen and Pat, Lord, help them in their diabetes, heal them, Lord, or might be lessen the effects of diabetes, Lord. With these ailments, Lord, as well, Lord, give them rest by the night, Lord, bless them and keep them, Lord, and provide for them and love them as well, Lord. With Pat here, Lord, help her as we pray for, Lord, that her operation was successful, Lord, help her, heal her and help her, Lord, provide for her and keep her safe as well, as Lord, and Lord, heal her and keep her safe as well. With this day, Lord, pray for the people in our prayer list, Lord. With Dolores as she's going to hospital, Lord, help her, Lord, and save her soul, Lord, and send people on their path, Lord. They'll tell about Jesus and to make the right decision, the only decision in life, Lord, to put their trust in Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, Lord. And with Victoria, you had the stroke, Lord, you might also send people to talk to her about Jesus, Lord, and to convict her and to save her from her sin as well, Lord. And with all the people in the hospital, Lord, that you might use witnesses, Lord, and or send tracks or whatever, Lord, in their way, Lord, that people may be saved, Lord, and so may the word be glorified in all the earth, Lord, that you stand up yourself. Give us this day, Lord, and provide for us, give us, Lord, and inform us and bless us for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books. I think it's our hymn books this time. 73, I think it was, we had a request to sing. Some Golden Daybreak. If you'd like to take and turn there, let's make a joyful noise. Some golden morning sorrow will cease, some glorious morning all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, school days all done, heaven will open, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the gloom. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. Sad hearts will gladden, all will be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's dark night. Changed in a moment, like him to be. Oh, glorious daybreak, Jesus I'll see. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. Oh, what a meeting there in the skies, No tears nor crying shall dim our eyes. Loved ones united eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. Some golden daybreak Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. Amen. Don't close those books. We'll sing one more and then we'll open our Bibles. If you would like to turn to 56. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing when we all get to heaven. Amen. Hymn number 56.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Amen. It's good to see each one of you here this morning, or to see a blurry outline of you anyway. Amen. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 24 this morning, if you would like to take and turn there. Matthew chapter 24. There are some chapters in the Bible that are I suppose maybe more often read or more interesting than others, and one of those for me is Matthew 24. I want to spend a few minutes this morning on the subject of an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Matthew chapter 24. And the word of God says that Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Let's have another word of prayer, and then we will get stuck in. Christy, if you would, brother, would you lead us?
Lord God, thank you for this day, Lord, for the lovely stone, the gathering and worship, Lord, in your house, Lord. Have your word on us as well. We ask and pray a blessing upon this time, Lord, that you would, Lord, soften each heart, Lord. Be with the preacher, Lord, and his heart at this time as well, Lord. Be with each mind here. Keep us attentive, Lord. Give us discernment. Pray heavenly wisdom. We pray, Lord, the Spirit would, Lord, just provide the needs of each of us here, Lord. You know our needs. I ask as well for those that couldn't be here that you would protect them this morning, Lord, from the wiles of the devil. I pray that you would minister to their needs, Lord, and just keep them safe. For the sick, I ask to touch again, Lord, or a portion of grace, Lord, according to your will. Those grieving families, Lord, we pray comfort for the McConnell, the Henry, Lord, and the Mormon families. We ask that you be with them this morning. Be with Rita's daughters as well. I pray salvation for their house. Lord, for Dorothy as well, Lord, I pray that her appointment get rescheduled for the test as well, Lord, please. Please work in her heart, Lord. Please work in our hearts this morning with her church, our sister churches meeting together in your name, proclaiming the full counsel of your word. We ask that you'd strengthen your sheep, Lord, and Lord, that you'd help us to be a light in this dark world, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen. It is a lovely sunny day outside, and maybe this is a slightly, how would you put it, a slightly darker reading from the Word of God. Matthew 24, and indeed in Mark and Luke, have similar chapters from a slightly different perspective. In other words, one of the accounts from the other writers of the Gospels. Basically, the Lord telling his disciples and recorded for us things that are quite literally happening to us and in the world in which we live right now. One of the things in verse 34 tells us that the generation, in other words, that's us, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And that is a very thought-provoking, a sobering comment from the Lord. In other words, the people that see these things start to happen, it's going to happen in their lifetimes. So it's worth thinking about. We're coming up to, in the Gospel of Matthew, the sacrifice that the Lord made for the sins of each and every person that has lived, was living even as those words were written down, and will live for the whole time that the babies are being born. The Lord is telling his disciples, who were desperately wanting to know, are you going to come back? Are you going to rule the nation of Israel? Are you going to conquer the world? Is this the time? And they didn't quite understand at the time that the Lord wasn't coming back to rule with a rod of iron just yet. He was come to give his life on the cross of Calvary, but he gave them these things to look out for. He said there was going to be a great resurgence in false religion, false Christs, false gospels. They'll say they're here and there, and they'll have people running here and there doing this, that, and the other, seeking for Christ. Says, and you know what? There's never been a time like it. There have been so many false religions, even those that you would in years gone by have put your hand upon and said, I could depend on them to tell me the truth. Sure, last week we had the notification of the Methodist Church endorsing gay marriage, one of the things that the Lord destroyed the world for in Noah's day and Sodom and Gomorrah for back in Abraham and Lot's day. And we have one of the big four churches standing up and saying, oh, it's wonderful love. Jesus is all about love. Jesus is all about loving kindness, judgment and righteousness, and like a three-legged stool, it's sturdy no matter what ground it's sat on, but take one or two of those legs away and it falls flat in its face. But these are the days we live in. In verse number 7, this is what the Lord said to look out for, nation rising against nation. And we have that. We have kingdom against kingdom. We have famines. Of course we have famines. We have pestilences, and up until a year and a half ago I would have said, look at AIDS, and the world is even so upside down that AIDS is quite literally a protected disease, and you are legally allowed to pass that from one person to another, knowing full well that you are infected with it, and the government will give you every single bit of medicine and antiretrovirals that it has at its disposal to make sure that you can keep living. And of course, passing it on. The Word of God talks about earthquakes in diverse places. And there has never been a greater time in the whole history of man for earthquakes. We're there. The famines we mentioned, there's definitely a famine in the land for the Word of God, but there are quite literally famines in many parts of the world for food, especially where it talks about plagues of locusts and things, and you're talking about Africa and around about that area. These things are happening. But the Lord said these are the beginnings of sorrows. These are the signs of what's going to be coming. And he goes on to give, in verse number 9, he talks about believers being delivered up. In other words, handed to the judge to be put in jail. He also talks about believers being put to death. And we think away back in Caesar's time, and we even think back in the Dark Ages, in the time of the Inquisition. But it's happening here, not here, thankfully, in this country, but it's happening in countries. In the likes of Russia, of China. And there's the rumblings of it in our own countries. We are put forward as the troublemakers. Just because we say, hold on a wee second, that law is actually going to hurt families and hurt women and hurt children. We don't worry so much about men because we're tough and we can take it in the chin. But those things are going to hurt the weaker elements of our society. Would you be better not doing it? Oh, you're a troublemaker. You're just saying that because you're a conservative Christian. It's happening right now. The foundation for it is being laid in all of our media. And you think of the countries around the world were to carry this Bible, for you to turn up at the building like this would have a black van out there with guys taking names and a van outside your house at midnight and you would be never seen again. That happens right now in countries of this world. It also has a very special section for the Jewish people, a severe warning to the Jewish people. Now, these things, they just keep getting worse and worse. It talks about, somewhere in around here, we have the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, where the Lord descends in the clouds and takes all the believers away, and the Holy Spirit's gone from the face of the earth. And there is no mitigating influence in anybody's life anymore. In fact, the thoughts of every man's hearts or heads will be all that they think about and all that they want to act upon. There'll be no conscience. It'll just be wickedness in every hand. It'll be like an orgy of violence, of immorality, of profanity, of you name it. Anything that's bad, the brakes will be taken off and thrown out of the car. But there's also a special warning to the Jews. As we look at verse number 15, and onwards, it talks, the Lord says about the abomination of desolation, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And back in the day, it was, there was Antioch Epiphanes or somebody like the name, something like that. That name probably was like John Smith back in the day, but he was offering up pigs in the Jewish temples just to profane them and and force the Jews to eat pork just to really annoy the life out of them. I believe this abomination of desolation will be the devil himself, the Antichrist, standing up in the temple on the mount and proclaiming himself to be God after he brings peace to the region. And the Lord has a warning to the Jews that would listen to him. Run. He says, it's going to be so urgent and it's going to be so serious. If you're working on the roof, just come down the ladder and run. If you're out in the field, don't go back for your clothes, just run. If you're in the field and on the house and anybody that's in or around you, just run. Run to the mountains. And even today there are people there that are storing supplies in the caves and in the hills and the mountains for the Jewish people whenever they have to. And it says, if you have any little children, it's going to be a very tough time. It's going to be so tough, in fact, for the whole world, that if Jesus didn't come back, there'd be nobody left, because the devil is going to do his utmost to kill God's people. It goes on to show more about the false religion, and it goes to show a little bit about the 21 judgments and how awful it is, the days darkened, the great amount of death. It talks about wherever the carcasses is, the eagles will be gathered together, and there will be a lot of them. And the Lord says at the very, very end, he likens it unto looking at the crops, looking at the fig trees, and he says, well, you know yourself, if you look at the fig tree, when the leaves start to go, you know where it is in its lifespan. You know the fruit's not far away. And whenever you look at these things happening in the world, you will know that the Lord's return is not far away. And it paints an awful picture. It's a dire picture, in fact. But I liken it a bit, if you were to take your Bibles, and I'm not going to ask you to take and turn there, I'm only going to offer up the chapter references. If you were to go and read Exodus 7 through 14, that's talking about the 10 judgments that God sent to the nation of Egypt whenever they started oppressing God's people. Eight chapters, basically, of the destruction of everything the Egyptian people put their faith in. An awful time for the Egyptians. In fact, they never really recovered, and they're not far off of a third world nation. They've been an also-ran ever since. And if you were to take and go to the far end of your Bible into the book of Revelation and read through chapters 6 to 16, there's 11 chapters that detail the 21 judgments that God is going to send to this earth. And to be honest with you, they deserve a little bit more study, because I believe it's just exactly the same thing. God taking all the things that we as people worship and turning them on their end, even using them against us as a creature, and defeating them in the eyes of those people, us that is, that put their faith in them. Whenever I say us, I mean mankind, not us Christians, because we're not going to be there. It talks about people have their faith in space, so we'll make a new start in Mars, and we have all sorts of stuff coming at us from space. We have a wormwood, we have stars falling from heaven, although I think that refers more to the devil and his angels being cast down to the earth. The oceans are poisoned, and so many people put so much effort into, the oceans will save us. False religion on every hand is going to be turned against the people when so many people turn to false religion, even the very technology. And we have seen how that has been turned against the people just this past year and a half, is going to be used against people for the mark of the beast. So We have the earth itself, the great earthquakes. The weather is going to be crazy. You think this, I was going to say we think this heat's bad. Well, we would have a majority of people think that this heat's bad. Taylor, probably, I take it this is just like a reasonably okay day for you with the heat. Yeah. Amen. But imagine it hotter yet again. The military even being used to subdue the people that eventually get enough or have a gutful of being treated like trash. All of these things are going to be used against the people that put their faith in them. And they're going to be used to judge all of those souls that are left behind when the rapture kicks off. And I want for you to know, in all of the judgments, it said that the Lord beat the pants off of Egypt whenever it judged Egypt. And there's going to be about half the world's population loses their lives whenever the Lord judges us as detailed in Revelation. Awful things are going to happen. God recorded it when it did happen. He recorded it for us today so that we could know who it was making these happen or allowing these to happen. And he's recorded the book of Revelation so that we can look back the hundreds, the thousands of years that the word of God has been there and people can know God said it was going to happen. And he had a very personalized, guaranteed solution for it. That's where the title comes in. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. I want to give you a few of these things here. When we're talking about the figures that are involved. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, and this is John recording what he had seen. I'm just going to read a verse, and this is what John said. He said, I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on it was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And that sounds pretty. At the moment, that stands at about 2 billion souls. And then as we read on in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 18, I could be quoting verse after verse after verse, but the important one is, by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. That's talking about the creatures coming up from the bottomless pit. So a fourth part is 3/12, and a third part of what's left is 3/12, and that's 6/12. And that means at least half of the world's population. In other words, every other person that you walk past in the street, every other person you see on the TV or on the internet or that you talk to in the day, every other person that's not saved, that doesn't choose Christ as Savior, that Christ doesn't lift off of this world, whenever he comes back in the clouds, every other person is going to die a horrible death. And what is the, goodness, it's going to make all these Hollywood disaster movies look like a wet and windy Monday afternoon, to be quite honest with you. Now to put that all back together is going to take a huge amount of fixing. Huge amount. Can you imagine the job of the glorified soul in the 1,000-year reign? Rebuilding roads, rebuilding houses, planting crops, tending to people whom we know that are going to die in their sins and go to hell, but who knows? We'll be joyful doing it in our glorified bodies with the ear of God and knowing no more sin nature, anything like that. And these souls will know us, many will know us, and many will be able to say, you're Norman, I remember you. You had your hip replaced, you had this, that, and the other happen to you, I remember that, but you look perfect now. Not that you don't look good right now, but you know what I mean. And they will look at Will and they will say the same thing. We know the troubles that you went through, but look at you now, you're perfect. They'll look at me and they say, you nearly dropped dead and your belly looked like you were shot with a Kalashnikov with all the scars on it that the doctors left you. But look, not be able to find it because we'll have robes of righteousness, but look, you're perfect. You're even better looking now than you were in real life. You know what I mean? That bit's the joke. What would it take? What would it have taken to put that lost soul where you would stand in that case? What would it take? Bar the bowing of the knee and the confession to the Lord God Almighty that Jesus Christ is Lord of your own free will, because you found out A, that you were a sinner, and B, that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son on the cross of Calvary for you. Why in the world would you want to go through 7 years of the worst times? The Bible actually says there will never be a time like it in the whole history of man. Why would you choose to go through that? Would it not be so much easier to take that ounce of prevention, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to admit in your head it doesn't take the money out of your pocket, it doesn't make you sick, it doesn't make you shorter, it doesn't make you weaker, it doesn't make you stupider, to admit that you're a sinner and accept Christ as your Savior? It's the easiest thing in the world to do. It's literally an ounce. And when they say an ounce of prevention, they mean something that is so tiny that you almost can't feel the weight of it in your hand. Compare that to what is going to be needed for those that survive. The things that they're going to go through. Yes, Christian, you and I, we're going to face a bit of persecution. Sometimes in this country we only face it whenever we go out and fly the flag for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put a leaflet in and you'll get someone shaking their fist at you, or someone will be beeping the horn at you when they drive past, or someone will just slam the door in your face whenever you're trying to tell them about the great things that the Lord has done for you and will do for them. We are already seeing that. Our legislation pretty much prohibits you from telling a homosexual or a lesbian or a transgender person, a person with an immortal soul that is going to live forever. It pretty much prohibits you from telling them that the Lord can help you, that the Lord can sort that all out if you'll let him, if you want to. And that's the least of legislation, where they would force you to produce, if you were in a commercial business, say you were a bakery or a florist, they would force you to produce items endorsing homosexual, gay marriage and transgender life. And you could go to jail and lose everything that you own because of your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would dance on the ashes of your business and use that to put the fear of God in others. We are starting to suffer persecution. Even across the border, wouldn't take you 5 minutes in a car to get across to a land where up until about a month or two ago, you could go to jail for opening a church. In the so-called land of saints and scholars, this is the land in which we live. But you know what? A little bit of persecution now for the cause of Christ, and because we choose Christ over the world, is far, far better. Not than a pound of judgment by God. It's going to be tons of judgment by God. In fact, so much that the Word of God records the thoughts, the words of many of the people going through it, cursing God and crying out for the mountains and the hills to fall upon them. I do believe that would be like being in bunkers under mountains and sealing themselves in. Which would you rather go through? Would you rather go through the thing where you give up of your pride? A tiny thing. It seems great in this world, but it's really a tiny thing. Would you rather give up your pride and admit that Jesus Christ is Lord? Or would you rather go through a quite literal hell on earth? It is very personal. Very, very personal. And it's amazing to think that an ounce of reflection and a comparison of your own life and the Word of God is definitely worth or better than the tons of remedy that will be required for each and every one of those souls that's left. It'll be personal for each one of those souls, and going through all of that, I am sure many of them will say, my goodness, I wish I had just listened to Christie or Taylor or Ling or Norman when they said, look, just get saved. You don't have to go on the corner of a street. You don't have to go round the doors. You don't have to even go to church. But if you're really saved and you want, and you make God a part of your life, you might want to do some of those things. I want to tell you, it took me nearly 15 years of being saved for the Lord to get it through my thick skull to take the megaphone and go up to the car park. As you're made ready, God will take and use you. But what would be easier? What is the easiest way for a living soul to go? What is the best way? Of course it is. I'm sure you've heard of it's God's the easiest way to go. I'm sure you've heard many examples of an ounce of prevention being worth or better than a pound of cure. Alan Fox once said that whenever he went to visit his optician, he used to sit like 3 foot away from the television, and he killed his eyes. If you ever saw his glasses back whenever he first started, they were like bottle ends. They were like Coke bottles. And he recalled an instance where he went to the opticians. And the optician said to him, well, young man, what would be better? You sitting far back from the TV or now having to wear these bottle ends for the rest of your life? Or a stitch in time saves nine, a tiny little remedy at the very beginning will save huge amounts of remedy later on. Which one do you think it should be? Simple answer is, and the lazy answer is, to get saved and avoid it all. But even in our laziness, we're prideful, and we find it very difficult to accept charity. That's just the way we are. You ever come across folks that will spend a fiver in diesel, run into every shop in the town to save £4? This is right here. But that's the way we are. There's a bargain over there. And then we'll spend the difference in petrol and parking to go and get the bargain over there. That's the way we are. That's our old nature. But God has a remedy for that. God has an accessory for that. And that is the new nature and the Holy Spirit of a Christian. All of those things, those awful things that are written in the book of Revelation, and most of those that are written in the little portion of God's word that we read this morning, are avoidable. For every soul on the face of this earth, the saddest thing is not the huge meteorites, is not the poison of the water or the huge earthquakes or the huge death toll by the animals and the weather and all of that stuff. The tragedy is not one person has to die. Not one person. But because people would rather lean on themselves, they would rather lean on technology or knowledge or wisdom, they would rather lean on their own personal physicality, billions are going to go into a Christless eternity. And if you ask them there, in the same way that the conversation went in Luke chapter 16 between the rich man and Abraham, if you gave someone the option to accept Christ as their Savior and get out of there, what do you think that they would do? You know full well that they would do. They would say, Lord, please save us, and they would be gone. But the option is now. The time is now. What's the Bible say? Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, because our world and our lives are so filled with uncertainty that anything could happen. So if there's something you need to do, if there's a job that the Lord's been putting on your shoulder or on your heart or your mind, or a person that you need to speak to, a letter that you need to send, a communique, a prayer that needs to be prayed, part of yourself that the Lord's not happy with that you could do with sorting, now's the time. Just admit that Jesus Christ is Lord and do it His way. Things will go so much easier. I know whenever people stand on the outside of Christianity and they look at us and they listen to us speak and we quote verses of scripture, or we meet up for a Bible study and we hammer our way through chapters, and the chapter that Norman was reading, we actually did that as memory verses years ago. They think, oh, that sounds like a lot of hard work. I want to tell you that wee bit of hard work really paid off for me in hospital when everything else was gone from me and only me and God remained. It was that little bit of hard work, that little bit of scripture that I still retained in my fever-addled mind that kept my head screwed on. It's worth it. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew 11? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He said to take my yoke upon us and learn of Him, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's what we were made to do, and we're only doing ourselves a disservice if we don't. I'm stopping there, and we're going to sing a song, and then we will be dismissed. Thank you for your good time and attention this morning. Hymn number 223. And if you're able, Mrs. Bradley, will you play that Four Springs of Living Water? 223. I don't need to work the music machine. I was walking over there. It's just that music machine. Amen. Amen. Let's make a joyful sound. Get your squats on.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. Glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul may satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply. Amen. Thank you all again for your good time and attention this morning. Pray you have a good Lord's Day. Look forward to seeing you the next appointed time. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time together and for your presence with us, Lord. And I pray that you would just see us safely home. Whichever direction we're going, I pray you, Lord, your good hand upon us. Please also be with those that couldn't be with us, Lord, and pave the way for those that need to be here this evening. We love you and praise you, and thank you for loving us and watching over us, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for your word, most importantly, for your Son's life on the cross of Calvary, for our eternities. Lord, bless us and keep us, and thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we just ask all of this, and thank you again for it, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. Amen.